The message today, we are going to use a lot of Bible, a lot of Bible readings. I will ask you to pay really attention about the Bible readings that we are going to see, that we are going to read today. We have all these Bible verses in the screen. Then it will be easy for you to read and to understand what I am saying in that my good English. But I want really to give us the opportunity to understand what God wants us to do in our lives. Okay? Yes? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you gave to us to be here today and to preach your message, to listen to your word, to listen what you are saying to us. Help us to understand. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our life to what you have for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There to be a disciple. In the year 1700, a man named George Whitefield was conducting outdoor evangelistic services in the United States. Thousands of people respond to his gospel message. So someone asked him how many people had converted during your sermons. And he said, "We will only know after 5 years." Wow! What did he mean by that? He wanted to show that there is a big, huge difference between a momentary decision, which can be superficial, and a real commitment to Christ. It is one thing to know Jesus and his teachings, but it is another thing to follow him. In the New Testament, followers of Jesus Christ are identified as disciple more than 250 times, but the term Christian is mentioned only 3 times. Jesus commanded, "Go and make disciples of all nations." But what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? First, the disciple of Jesus must be born again spiritually. The first condition for someone to be a disciple of Jesus is to receive salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot be a disciple of him if you do not recognize him as the only Savior and the only Lord of your life. Let's see what he said in John 10:27-29. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than them all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Without the miracle of the new birth, no one can devote himself fully to Christ. Second thing that we need to know, the disciple of Jesus must crucify himself. Wow. Jesus said to his disciple that just like him, everyone should also carry his cross. In Luke 9:23 we read, "Then he said to them all, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Taking the cross means stop doing our own will and selfish desires to meet the Father's will. It means that our greatest desire is not to satisfy ourselves, but to please our Lord. To please Him must be the greatest motivation of our lives. Jesus did not play with words when He said, "Whoever does carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." The third thing about what means to be a disciple of Jesus is, the disciple of Jesus must be a permanent apprentice. You're awake, huh? Good. I was just trying to see if you are watching. A disciple is a student and follower of his master. A disciple of Jesus must strive to learn and to apply the principles of the kingdom of God. We can only live up to what we know. The more we know about the character of Jesus and his teachings, the more we imitate him in our conduct. Philippians 2:5 says, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." What does it mean? It means that we are called to act like Him, have the same way of thinking, and want the same eternal destiny. 4. The disciple of Jesus must put Jesus above all. Above all else. The fourth requirement that Jesus made to his disciples is that they should put him as a priority above any human being. Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." This passage does not say that we cannot love God and our family at the same time. In Ephesians 5:25 and 1 Timothy 4:8, the Bible makes it clear about our obligations to our wives, husbands, and children. But what Jesus is saying is that our love for Him must be over all others, even if our family does not approve it. Our relationship with Christ should be above our family and above everything. If we are to be true disciples, conflict with the people around us will sometimes happen. Jesus did not hide it. In John 15:18-19, we can read, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you." Jesus came to warn of the possibility that some of his disciples have to pay with their own lives. Matthew 10:38-39 says, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worth of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Number 5. The disciple of Jesus must love him above material goods. After Jesus taught on the true riches, he said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." This verse seems easy in theory, but we see how many people serve money. Society is always running after material goods. So Jesus said, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Jesus did not mean to being disciples we must sell everything we have and live without a penny in our pockets. He was talking about the heart. Here's what he said. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And Apostle Paul said also something about this. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And he continued instructing those who were rich in material goods to be rich in good works and not trusting in the uncertainty of riches. In the verses 17 and 19, he says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In the way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is true life." What means to be a disciple of Jesus? 6. The disciple of Jesus must bear fruit. Jesus said in John 12:25, 24-25, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Just as Jesus died and rose again to save us, we must also die to our own will in order to fulfill God's will. Only a disciple who died for himself, interest for his selfish interest and for the will of the flesh, is ready to be used by God and thereby bear much fruit. Number 7, need to be more like Jesus. Which Christian would not want to be more like Jesus? I'm sure all of us do want to be more like Jesus. And better than that is knowing that God has the same desire for us. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, and He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." We Christians are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's not that great. But the fact that God wants us to be like Jesus does not mean that we do not have to do anything to make it happen. For this transformation happens, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That is, to be like Jesus depends on both the divine power and the fulfillment of our responsibilities. So, I want to show you three important points that make us more like Jesus. First, our surrender to God. To be more like Jesus depends on our surrender to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, His good, pleasant, and perfect will." Paul is saying that worship involves our total dedication to the Lord. As we offer our flesh as a living sacrifice, we must renew our minds and transform it through a new way of thinking, different from this world that is in the evil one. When a man named Levi heard Jesus say, "Follow me," immediately he left his money tables. In the same way, we must surrender everything we have willingly to follow Christ. John the Baptist once said, "He must become greater, I must become less." That is, we now must desire to see the glory of God shine in us and through us. We are invited by Jesus to follow His example of sacrificial love, His example of suffering, even unjustly, and obedience. Another important point to make us more like Jesus is our release from sin. To be more like Jesus depends on our deliverance from sin. Since He lived a life without sin, the more we consider ourselves dead to sin and seek a life of holiness, the more like Him we will be. As Christians, when we repent, He cleanses us from our sins, and we are set free. However, we must continue to seek sanctification and not to go back to the slaves of sin. The third and last important point to make us more like Jesus is our spiritual growth. To be more like Jesus depends on our growth as a Christians. As soon as we are saved, we have no wisdom, no knowledge of the world, no experience with the grace of God. Over time, and through various trials, we grow. We have grown. From there, we have a responsibility to be stronger, more loving, mature in faith, and consequently, more like Jesus. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. There's another passage in 1 Thessalonians 3:12 that says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you." As we seek the Lord, He works in our lives and He transforms us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all, who with unlived faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This passage shows that the Holy Spirit changes us from within, and Him and His will is that this work in us be perfectly until the day we meet with Christ. When that day comes, this process will complete. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. The promise that one day we will be totally like Jesus must motivate us to be like Him today. I will repeat. The promise that one day we will be totally like Jesus must motivate us to be like Him today. 1 John 3, verse 3 says, "All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure." Worship Him. I did not forget that today. I'm going to repeat again. The promise that one day we will be totally like Jesus must motivate us to be more like Him today. May you make a decision today to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ and to become more like Him, so that the life that God has dreamed for you become real. We have a challenge today, and I invite you to this challenge: dare to be a disciple. Amen.